When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. Busy weekend in Pittsburgh sports, huh? Well, we had the NFL draft that dominated the majority of the conversation. The Pirates had kind of a tough one in San Francisco. We're going to talk a little bit about their offense, but once again, can't not talk about what the Steelers did. Just a very impressive 3 days over at the South Side in Detroit, whatever you want to say. Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, Andy Wydell, really furthering the identity of this team up front and all that stuff. We'll dig deeper into it. First, I want to remind you that we are sponsored, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you will love the North Shore Tavern. If you love football and any other sport, you'll like it too. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for Steak on a Stone. Want to start this episode with a bit of a thank you. You know, it was Mike's Beer Bar, but we did a live stream from there the first two nights of the draft, and it was so much fun. It was such a cool event. A lot of props go out to our staff, I guess Ryan Wynn and Andrew Rush on the technical side, Adam Bittner, Chris Carter, Paul Zeiss, Joe Starkey, Brian Batko, Ray Fittipaldo, myself, just a wee little bit, providing you a bunch of stuff, and you guys consumed it. It was awesome, and awesome hospitality too from Mike's Beer Bar, which is par for the course over there. I hope to do more of that. I think we will. So we'll talk more from there, maybe around Pirates. We'll see. Steelers-wise, I loved what they did. You know that from the breakdowns that we did over the weekend. The piece I wrote today, you can find on A1 of your E-edition. It concentrated a lot on their process and getting guys who, well, drum roll, enjoy the process. It took me back to what Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan talked about on Monday in their pre-draft press conference. Kind of a funny scenario. Tomlin's joking about, you know, sometimes he like dupes the media and, you know, he may look at somebody else at a pro day or the Senior Bowl or whatever because he knows eyes and ears are on him. Omar joked that sometimes he's, you know, trying to do that just to mess with Omar. Either way, I came away from being around all of this stuff for 4 days just with a greater appreciation of how much Mike Tomlin loves this stuff. I don't think that's common. Maybe we take it for granted because we hear about it all the time in Pittsburgh, but like he lives for this stuff. He is such a football junkie. In the wrap-up press conference at the draft, there was another joke about him being like an honorary coach at the Senior Bowl, and he said he was self-appointed. But, you know, that's where he gets an interaction with Roman Wilson and challenges him to go against Toledo's Quinyon Mitchell and, you know, to put guys in position to see what the Steelers and other teams want to see. So I think that translates into some of the guys that they picked: Troy Fautanu, Zach Frazier, Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson. Their top four, you can look at those guys. And I mean, we can talk about athleticism and how they fit their position. You know, I was really impressed with Peyton Wilson. It might be the most underrated pick of the entire draft, but you know, you're talking about a Bednarik winner, Butkus Award winner, somehow slipping to the end of the third round, I guess because of injury concerns. I'll circle back to that in a second. But yeah, the attitude that these guys have, the love of football that these guys have, and I understand that that's something that you want to see, you know, all the time from players. Like fans aren't going to get, oh, he loves his job. He loves to play football. He gets paid a lot of money, whatever. Yes, I understand that. But there's also just sort of a genuineness to these guys. They, you know, there's a reason why you want guys with intangibles and put them around other people and think they're going to be a positive influence on other people. And that's not just a, that's not just a football thing or a sports thing. That's just a life thing, right? Like, you want to work with somebody who wants to be there and has a sort of infectious personality. And I think that's a lot of what they got here. Now, skill-wise, I like what they did. Fautanu has versatility, can play guard or tackle. I think either tackle. I don't see him being limited. Like, you see those guys that be like, I'm only a left guard. I'm only a right tackle. You know, and they don't have the versatility to go somewhere else. I don't think that's at all what they're getting here. Maybe on the flip side, Zach Frazier, the Steelers have needed a center for a long, long time. They have needed somebody to set down roots at that position. Frazier, to me, is that guy. He's played that position a long time. Not all of it, mind you. Like, he came up a guard, and I believe he spent a couple games there. But, I mean, he is very much a center. Roman Wilson out wide. This is a guy, I was digging a little deeper into some of his numbers, and we're talking about, I think it was 67 targets and like one drop or something like that. It's out there publicly. But, I mean, the dude just does not drop passes, does very well when scoring stuff like separation. But that's not my biggest takeaway with him. That's not why I'm most excited about the pick. And again, I'm circling back to the A1 piece I wrote. The process and the love of being there and doing things maybe that are unheralded, that don't get a ton of attention, like catching a touchdown pass. He's thrilled the block. I want that guy. I want that guy who wants to play the position like Hines Ward played the position. It was fantastic. And I feel like they got several throwback guys and addressed not only positional needs, but just personality needs and identity of the team needs. And I guess that takes me to Peyton Wilson a little bit, where they've been chasing this Ryan Shazier ghost for a while, right? Like, there have been sniffs at times. And then you're going to bring in a kid who plays like that, has the speed to play like that, racks up tackles, can be disruptive. The knock against him is injuries. Okay. But for the past 2 years, basically, he's been healthy and really productive. So I guess I understand why teams might pass on him, but I also understand why the Steelers jumped. I mean, that could be just an unbelievable bargain in the third round. Like some of the potential with McCormick, Lee, and Watts. Watts is a longer corner you've probably been reading about. Still have a few questions on what they do in the future outside. Dante Jackson's only here for one more year. What are they going to do in the slot? Maybe it's Watts, maybe it's not. I think there's still a need there. Logan Lee, I think you could do worse, right? Like, you need defensive line depth. Maybe would have rather seen them get a tackle. I think Lee is a little bit slight there, probably more of a traditional defensive end, needs to add some weight, but hey, you can do a lot worse than drafting a dude from Iowa who's been durable and semi-productive throughout his career. Bottom line, I thought the Steelers did really well for themselves. It's tough to be too critical. Every draft grade I've seen, I don't know if I've seen anything below like a B+. Most results in an A+. But just very, very impressive for them. Be looking to see those guys at rookie minicamp and then OTAs and regular minicamp and get this thing going. All right, we'll transition a little bit to the Pirates. I want to talk about their series against the Giants. They lost 2 of 3.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
They shouldn't be losing. This is getting a little concerning here, in large part because they're getting stuff that I'm not sure they're going to be getting all year, and that's the starting pitching. Over the past 7, they have a 2.16 ERA. Meanwhile, we're talking about a team that started 9-2, and they're 5-13 since, leveling out 14-15. They've scored 25 runs over their past 12 games. That's a whole bunch of numbers. I don't expect you to remember all of them, but it's got to be better. It's got to be better defensively. I think the bullpen has to be better. I think they would tell you that. The thing that concerns me most, though, is the offense and just the lack of run scoring. Ben Cherington was on his radio show Sunday talking about they have 3 guys, and this struck me, 3 guys who have been performing up to or exceeding internal projections: Joey Bart, Alika Williams, and Connor Joe. Now, Connor Joe has been very good. We can remove him from that conversation. Alika Williams has been in a very small sample size, and the internal projection might have been for him to have like 3 hits all year. I don't know how, you know, legitimate that is. He's also a part-time player, and he's been a fine depth player. Like, I have no issue not criticizing Alika Williams. Joey Bart was somebody they didn't expect to have at the beginning of the season. He's been great. He's been a great find. They should feel good about that. But, like, those three, and only three, are performing up to internal expectations. Doesn't that set off some alarm bells that only three players, one a legitimate guy that you signed, Joe, to be a part of your team, one you claimed off the scrap heap in Joey Bart, and another one who's a bit part with a very small sample size in Alika. Everybody else is performing below expectations. Doesn't that warrant asking some questions about why that's happening? I mean, I understand that it's a sample size thing. We're talking about 29 games. It does not a season make, but it's not three. It's not six. Like, to me, that's enough to start feeling a little concerned there. They need to figure it out. These are games they should win. This should be a really impressive heater for the team. I don't know what they're up to quality start-wise, maybe 14. They're certainly in like the top three or four teams in Major League Baseball in terms of quality starts this season. They're getting excellent starting pitching, and they're wasting it because of a lack of run support. Some things I'd like to see happen are stuff we're going to be looking out for in the next couple of days. When Yasmani Grandal is ready, he still needs to catch back-to-back. They've had some tornado issues there, cancel some games. So it's fine. It's kind of slowed down his progress, but I don't think he's far off. If we're talking about catching back-to-back when he comes up, you got to think Henry Davis comes down, right? He needs a reset. Just looks rough. It's not what we've seen in spring. I also hope somebody talks to Henry Davis about keeping his hand out. Want to put it behind his back and protect. Probably dodged a pretty big bullet there yesterday. David Bednar, as much as I like Bednar, I worry that he's completely healthy, completely normal. We've just seen him pitch a lot better than this. And I don't know if it's time to unplug Bednar, but if there was a phantom injury for a couple of days, I'm not sure that would be the worst thing. We'll see. Went a little bit long on this one today. Sorry, guys, got going with baseball. Be back tomorrow to talk about Pirates and a whole bunch more. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all this content and the rest from our PG Sports staff. As always, thanks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.